It's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, real estate guru Fabian Calvo. Featured guest today manages $100 million worth of distressed properties. It's a pleasure to have Fabian Calvo in his debut appearance here on GoldSeek.com Radio. He runs thenotehouse.us. We'll have links up there. Welcome, Fabian Calvo.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
You know, I first became acquainted with your work on Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog program, your housing forecast. You say the U.S. real estate market is in recovery mode, but it is an illusion that most deals are cash transactions carried out by hedge funds and institutions with deep pockets. Eventually, the public, though, is going to rush back into the market when zero down payment loans, you know, become the rage, probably, you say, after the midterm elections. And that could be the death knell for this market as wealthy investors empty their portfolios, if you will, their overpriced McMansions and crumbling debt shacks.
What I've actually termed this real estate house of cards pump and dump, if you will. And that's exactly what's going on. And already evidence is abundantly clear. As we well know, all markets right now in this type of environment are all manipulated, the housing market being the central manipulated market. To quote Bernanke, we need a housing recovery to basically fuel real economic growth and a real recovery. So that's what you're seeing happen right now is, hedge funds, private equities that are getting billion-dollar line of credits from the top five big banks at, less than 1%. And they're going and they're speculating, buying real estate in large pools of hundreds and hundreds of houses at a time. And then you also have the emergence of no money down loans. Just yesterday, there was a report that came out from Wells Fargo saying they're getting back into subprime loans to fuel the housing market that's starting to cool. So we're going to see, I think, after 2014, the ramping up of these no money down loans, and it's going to blow the market back up, similar to what you're seeing in the stock market right now.
Much of your work actually parallels that of Robert Shiller, co-creator of the Case-Shiller Index. I like to watch as a proxy for the real estate market the HGX Housing Index. I mean, we're seeing a recovery. One thing I really appreciate about your work is your contacts in the industry. I'd like for you to tell us where you made some of these contacts, why they are so knowledgeable, and how come what they know and we don't know could hurt us as individual investors and mortgage holders.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's a great question. And, it's starting my company, The Note House, and obviously, my company's small. In 2012, we closed a little over $100 million in the purchase of distressed debt and bank-owned properties. But, I often go to these conventions where you have companies that are closing hundreds and hundreds, if not billions of dollars in distressed deals and in just large volume type purchases. So just really through networking and also through the financial updates and on the housing market that I do often speak at conferences that are both private and public that deal with the real estate market, that deal with buying distressed debt, selling distressed debt. And I've been able to make a lot of different contacts in the industry that like my view and my ability to kind of really simplify an explanation on what's happening with the Fed, with the manipulation and everything else. And, a lot of these guys, I'll tell you, they believe, Chris, that this is, they really buy into, and these are intelligent people, they buy into, this is a recovery. The Fed will be able to unwind the $4 trillion balance sheet that they've created in buying mortgage-backed securities and long-term U.S. debt that nobody else wants to buy. But you have a growing number that I'm seeing of real estate guys, of top financial guys, that are not only getting more and more diversified into gold and silver, but they all recognize that this is just another huge, huge bubble being created, likely will be much larger than the 2008 financial crash we saw, because as I believe, and as many of these other contacts I have believe, it's going to be a multi-bubble that blows up. That's going to be the stock market, the real estate market, the bond bubble, and likely a dollar bubble that implodes simultaneously.
When we start to talk about a bigger collapse in housing than we already saw, that's going to raise some eyebrows. We saw as much as Las Vegas, 89% at its trough. We were looking at a nearly 90% loss in the typical home. Of course, that was an outlier, but it's still emblematic of a severe crisis we have here. So really what I'd like to do here is have you maybe go point by point, explain to folks, because when you start to talk about something bigger than 2008, the only thing that held up was the U.S. dollar and a handful of treasuries, T-bills, things of that nature.
Yeah, well, first off, let me just stress here for people listening that I honestly do believe that I think, and what I love about shows like these and you know, others that are out there is that the audience is an educated group of both investors and people that want to understand the way the economy works. And I think for that type of personality, these types of scenarios present a tremendous opportunity for the educated investor, for the educated entrepreneur that understands the business climate that we're in. But here's the thing. You know, when you have, let's say, the FHA with a $1 trillion-plus balance sheet of loans that were required, that only required 3% down or less, and in many cases, that 3% is made up by either realtor commissions or the sellers, you know, chipping in some of the money, where in essence it's kind of like they're manipulating and almost committing mortgage fraud to basically sell a property. You have prices that continue to go up and up. I mean, you know, programs like Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, all they've done is made housing much more expensive for the average person to purchase. Scenario where the U.S. dollar, in my personal opinion, based on all the research that I've done, based on my contacts in the financial industry, when you have the dollar as the world reserve currency status, and the dollar does lose that world reserve currency status, as we have the IMF calling for, we have top Chinese officials calling for, we have the former chief economist of the World Bank calling for, among a litany of others, you're going to see a situation where people will not be able to finance home purchases. And so that will result in a tremendous collapse of housing prices across the board. And I'll tell you right now, Chris, I see this all the time, and I see this actually growing more so than I saw back in 2006 and 2007. Mm-hmm. These vulture funds that are beginning to shore up billions of dollars in capital to prepare for when this event does happen, they could swoop in as an opportunistic fund and buy real estate at literally pennies on the dollar. That's the type of environment that I think we're looking at. You know, I don't think this is going to happen in the next week or the next month. Personally, you know, I've been one of the kind of few people that, you know, is saying, look, I think the collapse is a few years out because I think the Fed still wants to create much more debt. I think they still can manipulate things a little bit longer. But I think 2 to 4 years, I think we see a monumental bust.
Will we see more John Paulsons profiting to the tune of $1 billion plus, purchasing credit default swaps and related instruments, benefiting on the downside?
No question about it. I mean, these guys play both sides of the market. As I said yesterday, I'm like, you know, people think that the money's made as markets rise. Actually, the real money for many of these guys are made when the markets crash. I mean, that's, you know, as Rothschild said, it's when the blood's on the street is when you want to be buying, when you want to be getting involved in the markets. Now, to be crystal clear, Chris, the individuals that I'm talking about that I trust their financial outlook, and then based on all the research and just my current experience being on the front lines of this market, you know, not all of these guys are these evil crony capitalists that crash the economy. Like myself, we recognize, it's kind of like, look, we buy gold and silver because we recognize they're devaluing the dollar. Does that make us bad? No. Does that make us, you know, taking advantage of the situation? No, it's just we recognize the times that we live in. And so, you know, anytime you have markets as heavily manipulated as they are now, where you just look at the historical precedent, you know it cannot last. You know the world reserve currency has changed 6 times before in the last 600 years. You know it'll change hands again because it doesn't last forever. These are situations where I think, you know, again, you prepare for it, you get ready for it, and if possible, you take opportunity of. Because ultimately, nothing you or I can do will stop these events. We can only raise awareness. We can only, you know, do what we can as individuals.
You can't stop a massive Category 5 hurricane, but you can certainly buy and put on a life preserver, can't you?
That's actually the best way I've ever heard.
We look at precious metals as financial life preservers, and we want as many folks as possible to be secure as the storm approaches. And I also wanted to ask you about this bond bubble and the dollar collapse. Now, you know, we've really heard a lot of folks, it's almost an echo on this show. It's really even cliche talking about dollar collapse. You know, I had Jim Rogers on last week, self-made billionaire. He's actually long the dollar because he believes that, of course, now this may just be a trade, but he thinks that these global emerging currencies are in a lot of trouble and people are going to turn to the U.S. dollar as a safe haven. What are your thoughts?
Hard to disagree with someone as successful as Jim Rogers and his track record. You know, I was having lunch yesterday with my with a business partner of mine. He's actually a Chinese investor from Beijing, and he was talking about how Chinese investors, with all of the problems in China, both politically and economically, even as China grows, and in my opinion, is becoming the new engine of growth, to quote George Soros, of the global economy, they're still really concerned, and so they still look at America as a safe haven. And I agree with Jim Rogers on, you know, on being long in the dollar, but ultimately, when you look at the $17 trillion in debt, when you look at the over $500 trillion in derivatives, when you look at over the $250 trillion in unfunded liabilities, it is a racket that can't continue. It's continued this long simply because we have the world reserve currency static and we have the Fed, who can print trillions of dollars, not only to bail out U.S. financial institutions and keep the dollar propped up, but also bail out Western banks that also have a mass amount of dollars as their primary reserves, around 60%, although those reserves have gone down from close to 68% to now low 60s. So I think more and more, as the rest of the world catches on that the main export of the of America has now become inflation. You know, you have situations, for example, in China, where inflation's up 200% in the last 10 years in a population that is on the verge of revolution if food prices continue to rise. So I think these countries recognize, look, if we continue with this dollar-denominated system, we're going to have massive problems here. So we need to begin the process of detaching ourselves. You're seeing it already with the bilateral trade agreement. You're seeing it happen already take place with a lot of these central banks buying record amounts of gold. So look, will this happen, like I said, next year or in a couple of years? Likely not amid massive global crisis and failures of emerging market fiat currencies. But ultimately, I think there's a big bullseye on the U.S. dollar. It's a currency that I think we'll still use, you know, long term. It's just a question of what will it be worth and how much will it be devalued. You know, one more quick point I'll make, Chris, is that if we look at the Fed's target inflation of 2%, right, and we take that out 20 years, that means that $100 today will buy $150, or excuse me, the reverse. So, you know, we'd be looking at a third of a currency devaluation where, you know, where basically you have to now have $150 to pay for $100 worth of today, you know, a basket of goods in today's, in 2014, 20 years from now. So based on their approach and their numbers, we're looking at a third of a dollar devaluation in the next 20 years. That's if you believe inflation's running at 2%, and if you do, you also believe that you could keep your health care if you like it, you believe in weapons of mass destruction. Point is, we know inflation's running much higher. And so, again, the question is it 20 years, is it 10 years, is it 5 years? Nobody knows, but I guess, but my best guess, looking at historical precedent, is this current financial system cannot continue forever.
You may have read that Venezuela is having a lot of inflation trouble as well as currency issues. They're officially showing a 55% inflation rate, but what people are actually paying, 330%. If people don't think it can happen here, just go ask how much their groceries have gone up and how much lower their wages are relative to just 3, 4, 5, even 10 years ago. And you've mentioned in some of your work that you're calling for triple food and energy prices in the U.S. Tell folks more about that and what it would mean for investors.
The bottom line is that when you look at failed fiat currencies around the world and you look at empires that have declined, whether it's the Habsburg Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, the Soviet Union, they all have four characteristics to look for. They have a war. They have a war state that they've expanded drastically. They have rampant debt. They have absolute elite decadence, and they have rampant corruption. America hits on all four of those. And so, again, looking at history, looking at what's going on, the question becomes: you know, all of these countries where you've had, I believe, 56 or 57 that have ended in hyperinflation, they're all doing the same thing the U.S. is doing right now. Chris, I mean, it's the playbook that they've done in the past for countries that went into hyperinflation, or it's happening right now.
But Fabian, it's global in scale now, isn't it?
It's global. It's absolutely global in scale. And look, to really take this out a step further, you know, this is where people begin to have varying different views. There is absolutely no question in my mind that this is a managed decline to push the world into a global governance, global financial system. And again, this isn't, you know, coming from bobsconspiracyblog.com. This is internal IMF documents. I mean, you can go right now and you can look at the IMF's own website talking about a super currency or a super global currency, talking about ditching the dollar. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. Chris, you're talking about it all the time. So again, you know, the question, and you don't hear this number in the mainstream media, but you hear it at the highest levels of the financial industry where they're openly talking about it. I mean, I've been in closed-door meetings where there's been Fed officials that are bragging about the quantitative easing. I mean, so, you know, this is a serious issue. And I want to just say, you know, again, the reason I love programs like these are because really it's like the Paul Revere of today. We're warning people of, look, it isn't necessarily doom and gloom. It's just reality. And the question is, what are you going to do to not only prepare, but to be able to have real self-reliance when, you know, when these events begin to really unfold and speed up?
Well, that is an excellent transition into my next question for you. You know, keeping with the impending economic collapse theme you've laid out here, you've got some solutions, and I'd like for you to talk about this. You suggest that Americans must escape what you've called the job paradigm, find novel ways to become self-employed, you know, with the true unemployment rate, the U6 figure, now in double-digit territory. This sounds like really good advice. Could you share your personal journey, though, beginning with, let's say, the 2008 housing decline, and then the ascent out of the ashes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, in 2008, like many other investment firms and investors, I was, you know, impacted dramatically. Quite frankly, Chris, on the verge of bankruptcy, and I really did, after really thinking about it, you know, talking with my wife, deciding what I wanted to do, I basically said, you know what, I'm going to recommit myself to the specialized knowledge that I spent 10 years prior learning and you know, spending time and money educating myself, which was real estate investing. And I saw that in the ashes of the collapse, that there was also tremendous opportunity. That's when I started my company, The Note House. 2012, we had a record year. Last year, we did even better. This year, we're looking to beat expectations for what we did in the last 2 years. And so the point is that I had two things that I think are important for anybody who wants to take either their career, their life, whatever it may be, to the next level, is that I set the bar high and I had a plan with a strategy to get there. And that's something that anyone within the sound of my voice can implement. Now, I'm a real big believer in either having some kind of specialized investment knowledge so that you can become financially independent, I'm biased towards real estate investing because I'm a real estate investor. I help and I educate others in that field, but it could be stocks, it could be bonds, it could be gold and silver, it could be a bunch of different things, right? And at the same time, I believe that people must recognize that growing up, we've all heard this, Chris, I'm sure you've heard it as well, you know, go to school, get a good education, get a job, and hopefully you work at a place for, you know, 20, 30 years and get a pension. That paradigm has completely failed, and it's failing. I mean, the JOB paradigm just over broke is exactly what's happening with wages, not going up in the last 10 years, but as we've already talked about, food prices, energy prices, everything else going up easily. I mean, 20, 30% in the last 20 years, and that's being conservative. So the way you stay ahead of inflation is, yeah, by owning gold and silver and having other hard assets, but I think it's also by being a business owner, preferably for me, some type of online business, because there's a high probability, and I see this almost every single day, that you could start an online business around what you love to do. You know, by 2020, there's going to be 7 billion people on the internet, the largest market. And let me tell you, just like history shows us, the rise and fall of world reserve currencies, it also shows us that during massive collapses, massive crisis, there's also tremendous opportunity. In the Great Depression, you had the most number of millionaires ever created. It's not even about becoming a millionaire. It's about becoming self-reliant and not being dependent on somebody else for your finances and being able to do it in a way where you can do it anywhere in the world. If you want to get out of the country and you run an online business, well, you're going to have to worry about, God, I'm not going to be able to go to my 9-to-5. So these are solutions and these are strategies above and beyond the basics, which, of course, are, you know, food storage, you know, having some cash on hand, having guns, all that stuff, which is critical, and I definitely think people should do. But we have to look more of a longer-term approach, more of a self-reliant approach, and I think these are all things that people really need to consider.
I wonder if you could talk some more about the dark period in American history here, you know, the Great Depression. You talk about, and you alluded to, the most self-made millionaires in American history during this time. And I think that listeners need to be aware that it's going to be important not just to survive this coming financial firestorm, but actually perhaps to profit from it.
You know, everybody, I'm sure, has played Monopoly. Well, Charles Darrow created Monopoly during the Great Depression. It was a parlor game that he literally blew up, and it's now we all know how successful it's become. But even back then, it was hugely successful. Kroger grocery stores was started during the Great Depression. Hewlett Packard was started during the Great Depression. J. Paul Getty, who, you know, obviously to his benefit, benefited from a $500,000 inheritance during the Great Depression, took that $500,000 and converted it into tens of millions of dollars. And really, the list just goes on and on. And so I think that, look, one of the things we see during collapses is really here's what happens, is that we have competition. I don't really like to use the word competition, but nonetheless, we'll use it for purposes of this talk. Competition really ceases to exist. A perfect example of that is in 2008, when the housing market collapsed, we had real estate agents in Florida went down by almost 70%. People that just stopped completely becoming a real estate agent. So for the 30% that stuck around, they were the ones that likely were able to make money and work with all the different investors that came in and started to buy. So it didn't just stop there, though. We also see that, you know, in the past, we've seen that during economic crisis, not only do we have people take advantage of the situation, we also have a massive amount of people that turn towards government and become even more dependent. So the bottom line is what categories do you want to fall into? And so I think that people need to recognize, because, you know, one of the things, Chris, I think you and I would probably agree, you know, would probably we've both seen is that, unfortunately, many times in people that recognize times we're living in, they think that an economic collapse means pretty much the end of the world, doom and gloom and everything else. They need to know that, no, markets will continue, the world will continue, and what's your plan long term for living through that time?
Are there any low-budget surefire tips for passive income or maybe even online employment that are more appealing? For instance, maybe investing in distressed property debt. Any ideas?
That's a longer conversation, but I will add that with respect to real estate investing, it's the only asset class, and I know this is about to sound like a late-night infomercial, but I've proven this over 1,000 different times, is that real estate is the only asset class where somebody can monetize it with no money out of pocket. You can use somebody else's money or whatever. There's a variety of different strategies. So, people can research that. They can check it out. I have a whole entire course about it, resourcefulrealestateacademy.com. They can check out. But let me talk about online business, because this is a real passion of mine as well. And what I love so much about it, Chris, is that people can do it based off what they love to do. Anybody listening right now, all you need to do is look, what's your passion? What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? And then just find out if there's a market viability to it. Go on Amazon, go on Google. What are other products out there that are being created around what you love to do? I mean, it could be anything. It could be gardening. It could be, you know, cars. It could be technology. It could be, you know, gold and silver investing. I guarantee that in any niche out there, for someone's passion, there are other experts or people that are interviewing experts that are making a career, if not making a pretty good living, that are catering to that niche. And so what's the market viability of your passion? Finding out on Amazon and you know, looking for Facebook groups and looking for a community that's actively looking to, looking for more information. And then the second thing you want to do is you want to start, you know, a blog, video, YouTube, Vimeo, whatever it may be, sharing your passion and sharing information about your passion and building what I call a tribe, right? Building other people that like what you have to say, like your voice, or like your writing. And if you don't want to be that expert, then interview other experts in that particular niche, and people will want to see those interviews. And then from there, I mean, you could do all kinds of things, Chris. I mean, you could create different products, books, and services that bottom line add value to the marketplace, add value to the niche. And believe it or not, I mean, I have seen time after time after time, people that have followed those exact steps that I've just given, and for under $200 can set up an online business online, an online storefront, and within a year or less, replace their current income at a job working 9 to 5. I mean, it's incredible, and the opportunity exists. Like I said, by 2020, over 7 billion people on the internet, the largest marketplace the world has ever known. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to tap into it? Are you going to share your passion? Or are you going to sit on the sidelines?
You have a very successful method of investing in the precious metals. It's basic, but I'd like for you to share it here as we start to wrap up our discussion today, because I think it could help many of our listeners.
I think you kind of touched on this, and I think you would agree. I don't necessarily look at precious metals as an investment. I look at it as an insurance policy to failing fiat currency. And I buy every month. So when prices were falling to $20, silver fell from 40 to 20 or from close to 50 to 20. You had a lot of people complaining because they bought at 40. Listen, I bought at 40. I bought at 45. I also bought at $8. The point is that I buy every single month. And over the long period, I know that ultimately in a world where an abundance of evidence exists to failing currencies, buying silver and gold every single month. And if you could, I mean, look, you can buy silver. You don't need to pay, you know, $1,300 an ounce. You can go to your pawn shop. You can buy small bits of gold. You can buy, you know, a couple of silver eagles a month, depending on what your budget is. I think it's, quite frankly, the best insurance policy towards everything we've talked about in this, you know, in this half hour, Chris.
Well, as we wrap up here, any topics that I haven't covered that you'd like to address today?
No, I think we've covered everything. You know, I just want to mention that, you know, last year, a gentleman by the name of Simon Black, listeners may know who he is, he had a convention in Santiago, Chile, where he invited several people, among them Ron Paul. Ron Paul, at the end of his talk, gave a really, really hit the nail on the head, which was, look, in the world where you have criminal governments running amok, the best thing you can do is become self-reliant. And, you know, I'm a big believer in becoming self-reliant across the board, and I think listeners really need to begin to come up with a plan, set the bar high, and figure out how are they going to become self-reliant as quickly as possible.
So I'd like for you to tell folks how they can find out more about you. They can get involved with your programs and any offers that you have and any other contact information, please.
Yeah, so for all my video, my updated videos, they can go to stadiumforliberty.com. That's stadium, the number 4, liberty.com. And they can also go to stadiumcalvo.me, and all my information and companies and everything else that I have going on are on those sites. And let me just say, Greg Hunter, of course, you know, like Gold Seek Radio and all these other great alternative media voices, I think are really leading to this new renaissance in America, but globally, for liberty, for free markets. And that's really what we need to focus on, Chris.
Fabian, we're going to look forward to having you back on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.